Yeah, Alex. Oh, I can't hear you.
Hi.
Hi.
Firstly, thank you. Just I feel like at the end of the kind of the workshop deserve a thank you because it's been absolutely amazing and you're such like a font of knowledge. It's incredible. So yeah, just thank you for sharing it with us all. I feel like I've got so many questions at the moment. So I think the one that probably is well, two are most related to what you shared today. I think one of them was when you were sharing about being safe in friendship and being able to have kind of those frameworks that create a safe friendship. Something I've noticed is sometimes when I have those frameworks in friendship, I actually feel less safe. I feel like I'm like walking on eggshells, or I'm too scared to like say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And I can hear it as I'm saying it out loud. It's a bit of perfectionism.
Good
Yeah,
awareness.
I'm just like curious about that. And another example you gave was like around giving people reassurance. Like that's something I've noticed I struggle with. I feel like I can find it quite draining at times to constantly be in a cycle of reassurance. So I'm trying to work out if I'm that person that can't do the safe friendship or yeah, that's where I'm kind of at.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it can be draining. I mean, you can ask David. He's probably a better person to answer this question because he's married to somebody who needs a lot of reassurance. So, like, he can get drained or annoyed with me asking for reassurance too. And when he does, he just tells me. Like, he's not a dick about it. It's just like, babe, I've given you so much reassurance. Like, really, is there anything else that I can say that's gonna like make you feel more reassured? Like, it sounds like you need to go sit with this trigger yourself, or like let it go and trust, like he's really
Yeah.
good about reminding me about stuff like that.
I think that's really helpful as a framework of, as a way of framing it. But I think also when I'm thinking of the specific example, I think it was more maybe a boundaries. The really specific example is I was p quite early postpartum. I was still when I was still in the point of paralysis in my leg and I got a virus. So I had a really high temperature, but I just felt like I'd been hit like a truck by a truck. I really didn't feel good. And I ended up going to the hospital. I spent the day asleep. I woke up. My husband had invited our friends around because their kitchen was broken. They'd discovered black mold, so they couldn't cook. So he was like, come around, I'm cooking dinner anyway. You can eat with us. And then yeah, it wasn't like a dinner party. It was like literally just come and eat out of the kitchen. So I woke up, he woke me up like 5 minutes before dinner. I ate dinner with them and afterwards I really like nosedived and we had to go into the hospital. And then I can't remember I think it was maybe the next day. My friend, who's the one I'm having the rupture with at the moment, had kind of all these messages saying, I was trying to see you yesterday. You said you couldn't see me because you weren't well, but then you had dinner with your other friends. Like, there was a lot of kind of, and I was like, I literally ended up in hospital overnight. Like, I actually wasn't well. Like, their kitchen's broken. It wasn't a dinner party. Like, that was Jake as well. It wasn't me. But there'd been a couple of situations like that where I think there was a seeking of almost like reassurance, but I just felt like I didn't have the capacity for it. So maybe it's more of a boundaries issue.
I mean, knowing what you've told me about this friend and like I don't know that it was ever a healthy, super healthy relationship to begin with. Like, that doesn't sound like you went to the hospital last night, but she's jealous because she didn't get invited over for dinner. Like, that seems really that sounds like something she needs to sit with. Like, isn't it interesting that I'm creating this story in my head that they had this dinner party without me, even though it wasn't actually a dinner party. They were just trying to help friends out who had black mold in their kitchen, and Alex was already sick, and then she ended up in the hospital. And instead of being concerned for my friend and how she's feeling, I'm seeking reassurance from her. Isn't that interesting? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you for the reflection because I still find myself in a pattern where I over try and take responsibility.
Yes.
It's helpful hearing it reflected back sometimes.
Yeah, that sounds kind of dysfunctional,
Yeah.
honestly. like not on your part, not on your part. Like, I think that obviously this can take time to build and learn if you've never done it before, but having discernment in a relationship of like choosing the right moment to say something sometimes, can be really helpful. And taking the time to sit with something and really see how you feel about it before you just go and ask for reassurance or go and set a boundary or, make some rigid line in the sand or something like that. Like it can just be really helpful to just like sit with yourself and like, what is coming up for me? What is this triggering for me? With curiosity, obviously. But, like I think having the discernment to know that that probably wasn't a very well chosen moment on by her to ask that for your friendship, like you were not really in a place of being able to give anything energetically, like there is a time when it's not appropriate to expect people to give to us,
I really appreciate that reflection because I think I'm seeing like that's where a lot of resentment has built. Is it okay if I ask a second question? I want to be respectful
Ask
of
as many
them.
questions as you need, love.
Thank you. Because the other thing, it's all quite interrelated. I had quite a rough week last week, and I think even though it was a rough week, it's in a good way. as in I'm feeling things. But I basically, one of my good friends from the UK messaged me that she was pregnant. And I actually found myself in a lot of grief hearing the news. And then I also, so I was kind of working my way through that because of what happened in my pregnancy, because of what happened in my labor, we've decided that we won't extend our family in the traditional way. And I have a lot of grief around that. And then the friend that I'm in dysfunction with at the moment also messaged me and said, "Hey, I know you don't want to speak right now, but it felt wrong not to tell you this." And it was another pregnancy announcement. And I've just really struggled with the feelings of grief. And I think in saying what you're saying there, I spoke to my therapist about it and I've spoken to Jake about it, but I don't want to tell my friends that I find it hard to hear. I don't know. I just don't really know what to do. I don't really know what to do with those feelings.
Yeah, I think it's pretty reasonable that you feel how you feel. I mean, you had a rough time. Your body was like broken. And knowing that you don't ever want to go through that experience again, like, yeah, maybe that's the best choice for your health, but you can still want to be pregnant and have a baby again. And like grieve that. And so when they get pregnant, that represents to you something that you're not going to have again. Like, I think that's really acceptable. And you said you're really struggling with grief around that. Like, what is the struggle? Is the struggle like whether to share this with your friends or not? Or is the struggle the grief itself? Or,
I think it was that discernment piece you were talking about whether there is a whether it needs sharing at all. Sorry.
yeah. What does it mean to you that
Struggling.
there's.
It just feels really overwhelming at the moment. It just feels a lot.
Okay. Just let it be there. Just let it be. If you need to cry, it's okay. Like, it's a big decision to decide to not have a baby yourself again to expand your family. And it's also really understandable that when other people are expanding their families with pregnancy, that there's a part of you that longs for that. That's okay. That's really understandable. And it doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong by telling you. And it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong by feeling sad about it. Right? Like nobody's wrong. And you're allowed to, like, I mean, they've already told you. So like I think it'd be kind of weird to go back and be like, I wish you wouldn't have told me that because they already told you and they don't know the grief that you're experiencing. But I think like, what would it feel like to share that you're really happy for them and also that you're noticing a lot of grief coming up for yourself and let them hold some space for you? Do you
I don't
trust them to do that?
I don't feel like either friendship's one where I can trust it to do that, which is maybe why I'm struggling a little bit with the so I'm trying to articulate. It helps me to work out how I'm feeling sometimes to talk. So I think that's sometimes
I'm a verbal processor too.
I think it feels quite lonely. The grief feels lonely. The decision feels lonely. Yeah, I think it just feels quite lonely.
And it's really okay to need someone to come into that space with you so you don't feel alone in it. But
Yeah.
it's also really hard if you don't trust those friendships to be able to do that for you. Do you have other friendships that you trust to be able to hold space for you in that?
Yeah, I do actually. Someone I'm seeing tomorrow, I know. She's been struggling on a fertility journey, so it's different, but I can imagine, or I'd like to know from her perspective if she's ever struggled with it or if she's felt that way, or yeah.
And just remember, the only reason you're struggling with grief is if you're resisting it in some way. If you're just grieving, you're not struggling.
I think it's that thing again where it just almost feels like so delayed. It's like I've got this, I still have this story in my head that it's like 16 months later, and why is it hitting me like a ton of bricks now? But it honestly feels like this last 2 weeks, it's just hit me like an absolute ton of bricks, and it feels like I want to cancel everything. I want to just kind of lie in
Maybe
bed
you
for a
need
bit.
that. Maybe you need that. Maybe you need that. Again, if you weren't judging yourself, would that be a problem?
No, I think that's what I experienced today. Like I had a, it sounds so silly. I had a Pilates class booked, and I was like, I can't miss the class. Can't cancel the class. I can't. I actually just needed to just like not leave the house today.
You can cancel the class.
Sounds so silly when I say it out loud.
You can cancel the class. You can cancel everything. Like, it takes as long as it takes. Like, it's okay that it hurts. I'm sorry that it hurts, but it's okay that it hurts. And it's okay if there are certain people that you don't trust to come into that experience with you and hold space for you. But I would encourage you to have someone that you trust to come into that space with you because you don't need to be in that alone.
I think
Probably someone besides your husband, because he may have his own level of grief, and it may be hard for him to hold space for you right now if he's also trying to hold his own grief.
I'm definitely aware of that as well. And I'm also aware my other really close friend is trying to get pregnant at the moment as well. So as in one's struggling with getting pregnant, but one's kind of actively trying and as far as she's aware, isn't struggling with it. So I'm kind of cautious to bring that to her because I don't want to then her to then feel weird about telling me she's pregnant or think I'm not happy for her or anything like that, because of
What if you
course.
just said that to her? What if you just said, I'm really struggling. I want to share this with you because you're my friend, but there's a part of me that thinks that if I do share it with you, then you won't want to tell me when you're pregnant. And like, I want you to know that I'm going to be happy for you no matter what. Like, this is the kind of really vulnerable communicating. Like, if you can tell me, you can tell them. It just may feel scarier. Like it may feel intimidating or scary, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. And that's how you invite intimacy in, is when you share these parts of yourself that you wish weren't there, but they're there. And you're doing the best you can with them. And you're inviting somebody to come into that with you so that you don't have to sit in the dark by yourself. Like that's okay. And she can still get pregnant. And you can be overjoyed for her, and she can still come and sit in the dark with you in your grief. Like it's a both and, it's not an either or.
Both and. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Anything else? You said you had tons of questions. That's only
No,
two.
I actually think that feels complete for now, so thank you.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
We got some stuff in the chat for you as well. Before I take any more from the group, I want to read an email that came in from Jen. Oh, I have cough drops. Like brought me peppermints because I keep clearing my throat. It's because we have wildfire smoke in the air. It's like super hazy right now and it's messing me up. So Jen Heller emailed in. Not sure if you will get this before the call tonight, but I could use help. I am very much in the camp of I don't deserve to be free from my poor self-worth or free to find peace or just be me. Lindsay and I previously connected, and I reject the peace I have now for the peace I didn't have then. Yes, it makes sense, and I can't pull myself out of it since I am seeking evidence of deserving to counter all the abundant examples of undeserving. Help, please. Man, Jen, I wish you were here. I think I just have too many questions to ask to like really give this the time and space that it deserves. Because I don't think there's anything intellectually that I'm going to be able to say that is going to like change your mind about this. I think you know how to meet yourself in curiosity. And if you don't, like some examples of that is like, I wonder why I reject the peace I have now for the peace I didn't have then. What would it look like if I wasn't rejecting the peace that I have now for the peace I didn't have then? What would it look like if I wasn't creating chaos in my life to subconsciously replicate my childhood? I think that our little parts, our little kids on our bus, oftentimes we subconsciously create relationships, situations, scenarios, like whatever, because the wisdom of our body is like, if you go through this enough times, eventually you're going to like be aware and like learn how to get through it differently. You know, so it's kind of a, it's like a merciful thing that our bodies and our subconsciouses partner together to do, it seems like, if that makes sense. Where it's like, wow, I mean, for me with abandonment, right? Like, I can't say that my subconscious or my higher self or some part of me didn't help to co-create the situation that happened with my mom. So that I could like wake up to this pattern that was in my life and actually go into it and excavate it and look at it from all sides and have it get poked and prodded and mirrored and triggered and everything else until I found my way through it. And until I got to a place of like, I do not have to wait around needing my mom to be something she's never going to be for me. I can just like release her and accept her for how she is. And that doesn't mean I have to give her access to everything in my life. I can still have boundaries. Any relationship that we have on my end is only going to come from a place of authentic desire, not because I'm trying to get a need met or because I need her to be different or I'm, you know, trying to replay out childhood shit with attachment stuff. Like, maybe that's what's happening for you, Jen, is it's like your subconscious is creating these scenarios of chaos that mimic the peace you didn't have as a child to help you like wake up in this pattern. It's a very loving thing that yourself is doing for you. And I know that doesn't really answer your question for help, and I'm sorry, but I think we should talk more about this like individually. Because I have a lot of questions to ask, and I would want to know what you feel in your body, and I would want to know, you know, specific stories of the voice in your head, and I would want to know, like, if you can tap into the highest, wisest, most loving, most trusting part of yourself, like, what would that part of yourself say? What would that part of yourself choose? That's what I got for right now. I feel like it's probably not enough for what you were hoping for, but that's what I've got right now. So hopefully we can connect outside of this call whenever you're available and chat about it more. Lenka, yes, my dear.
Hello.
I resonate a lot with her question on, I'm very cognizant of the healing journey, hamster wheel, and all this stuff. I've got some chronic health issues that seem to keep coming up and happening and escalating, and now there's new stuff. And I, quit my job last year, and it was supposed to be my foray into my new life. And the hits just keep coming. And like, as I'm telling you this, it's a story like kind of perversely that I actually cling to, I realize, because when I'm ill is the only time I actually allow myself to set boundaries, right? And I know that you talked about this in a previous class, but I think it's really holding me back from taking the responsibility of creating my life, because it's so much, it's comforting to pull up the blanket and be sick and ill, and you guys have to, I don't have time to deal with family financial drama because I'm ill. And so I was thinking the work is like taking that boundary and you borrow it, like mo borrowing it and using it during the times where I'm feeling well. But it's almost like I'm resisting the idea actually of being well. I look at people who are doing well and I like resent them. I'm like, what are you being so happy about? And I don't like that part, but I think I'm clinging to this because I feel like I matter when I'm ill and I finally get to stop and take care of myself. And so that's, I resonate with what Jen was saying, even though there are a lot of question marks, because I feel like we're stuck in that a similar spot.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sorry, were you done? I was just like waiting for
Yeah, I was kind of trying to figure out
you.
a way to tie it up. So if that's enough for you to give me something to go on, I could be done.
I mean, I feel like you have most of it with just the awareness that you brought to that. Really?
Was a big aha moment. I was like, wait a
Yeah.
minute.
Yeah, so without any judgment whatsoever, a part of you at one time needed illness to give you rest and to give you what you needed to set boundaries. Okay. And now you're realizing that maybe I've outgrown this. Maybe this doesn't fit anymore. This doesn't feel authentic anymore. I don't need illness to set boundaries. I can set boundaries without being ill. What else do you need to know? Like, thank
Well,
you,
first
body,
of
for
all,
getting ill and helping me set all those boundaries. And also, we're moving on because we know how to do it differently.
yeah, I really like that you put it in the past because I think that part of it is like not really like manifesting it, but like reminding myself of this new script that we want to create. I remember you were saying like you write your past script and like how you dealt with it, and now you've got like a new script, and like it's not gonna be seamless, but we're gonna now practice this script of like I can feel well, and also it's so hard to even say it. Also, tell my family the boundary that I can't, like, it's like you said, I'm laying on the beach today. It's my day off. I have so much guilt, when I put myself there. So it's the practice of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is anyone in your real life now like making you feel guilty for taking time to yourself or being ill or having boundaries? Like, is it not safe for you to have boundaries or to take time for yourself?
I mean, that's a great question because so much of it is in my head from past conditioning and past experiences. Like, The main thing I'm reflecting about with this scenario is my mom, dad, brother, and uncle. There's some drama there with my dad's medical condition and my mom's finances. And she, like, nobody's guilting me. Like, my dad actually thanked me for helping, which was one of my big things. I felt like nobody saw the work I was doing. And my mom, like, wants me to feel better, and she doesn't want me to feel like it does feel like I'm creating this story, which, to your point a few minutes ago, it's like, why are we creating this story for ourselves that, but it's what you said. It's like I create this story because I think I need that for the boundary. But maybe I don't anymore. That feels really
But
good.
I think the fact that you're aware of it and you're like, whoa, I just found the story. Like, yeah, now it's just the active process of taking responsibility for that and choosing something else.
Yeah, and it's really helpful to do that with someone else. Like, I don't know why, but it really helps to have someone reflect back the positive, like celebratory stuff, where it's so hard for me to do that on my own, to just be like, oh yeah, I'm feeling so amazing, or look how much I healed this pattern, or whatever. It just really helps to kind of, like, I even came and I like said the whole thing, right? But I needed you to like validate, right? I guess, in a way, and kind of, I don't know, I guess validate.
Okay, I do want to circle back to something you said about how you feel resentful to people who are well.
Yeah.
So, okay. Do you feel like, I'm sure you've been around a judgmental person who's not yourself, like someone who's really judgy, right? Does their energy draw you in, or does it push you away?
Pushes me away big time.
Okay, so the energy that you have about people who are well, you are literally judging wellness as bad. And so you're pushing it away.
Yeah.
Like, because
Yeah.
it's bad. Because there's a part of you that's like, oh, they can have it, but I can't have it.
Yeah.
And people do this with money too. Like, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to attract wealth into your life, you have to stop judging rich people. Like, you can't judge how rich people spend their money, how they like what cars they drive, how much they make. Like, you can't judge rich people. Otherwise, you're literally saying like money is bad. Oh,
Yeah.
they blow it. They could help so many people, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
if they chose to do that with their money, they could. But you're not going to attract wealth or financial abundance into your life if you feel an attitude about people who have money.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally repelling the energy of, and money is an energy. You're literally repelling the energy of money by judging people who have money. So, of course, you're not going to be a person with money. You think it's bad. You're repelling wellness when you judge people who are well. Of course, you're repelling it and you don't feel well. There's a part of you that thinks it's bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not, that's not in a blaming way. I hope you know that I'm not saying that in a blamey kind of way. Like,
Yeah,
I
I
also
understand.
believe that even if you healed this relationship with people who are well and you didn't have the resentment, like, you may still have a chronic thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that you're preventing yourself from being well because of this belief,
Right. No,
but it's not helping you.
yeah, it's something that really tipped my awareness, because I was like, why am I mad at her for saying she's doing great? I'm like, why does that make me so upset? Because of course I want to say I'm feeling great, but I think if I do that, then I feel like I'll be guilted into family obligations. It's really specific. I have a really specific fear, apparently, but
I mean, it sounds
I
like you're
fear
doing a
that,
lot of things out of obligation, and your body needs to be sick to get you out of that because that's not authentic.
yeah.
Okay,
So
so
maybe I need to explore why, what's enough, what do I do want to do authentically?
yeah, and maybe authentically you don't want to do family stuff.
I know.
And what would that mean
Yeah,
for you if you
it
didn't want to?
feels like a sinking stone in my chest, but I think I really need to confront that, you
I mean,
know?
what, like, is the family stuff worth it? Like, does it really bring you a lot of joy, light you up, feel connecting, feel nourishing, reciprocal? Like, is that what family feels like for you? Or is it like a drag and an obligation? And there's,
It's a big source of my chronic stress symptoms, actually. So there's not much, unfortunately, there's no joy in that. It's really like the way I described it was like the sword is already in my stomach. I'm just trying to pull it out so there's less or something. It's really, I'm trying to right size my relationship with it because it's really harming me.
I mean, but your body is really smart because your body knows showing up in those family situations does not feel good. Your authenticity is not welcome there. So body's like, hey, let's get sick. That's a convenient way out. And it works every fucking time, doesn't
Yeah,
it?
it really does. I'm like, wait, but now I need to like keep that boundary
But now
and get better.
you need to know how to say no even when you're not sick. And that, I mean, that might feel really fucking uncomfortable. When you have tasted what it is like to be in relationship where your authenticity is welcomed, where like I'm part of a women's group that meets every month on the full moon for a moon circle, and I missed like five or six in a row or something. And then the next time I showed up to the moon circle, I offered to host it at my house, and everybody came. And I did this thing where I was like, "I'm really sorry, I haven't been to the circle for the last few months, you guys." Like, and my friend Kelly was like, "Dude, it doesn't matter. Like, I would rather you didn't come if you don't want to or can't come, because whenever you show up, I know that you're all in." You know? So like, they can feel it. Other people can feel. I mean, maybe your family isn't that sensitive. My friend Kelly is a pretty conscious person, but like, people can feel it if you're showing up out of obligation. And like, some people take
Yeah, if you're resentful.
advantage of that. They know that that's a way that they can manipulate you to get what they want, is that you feel obligated. Like, you have this good girl who's like, I have to be pleasing and I have to show up for everybody and I have to da 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 da. And so you're like, your body's not going to put up with that bullshit forever. Of course you're sick.
And I also love the idea of the authentic relationships. I think I've had several that I've created over time, and because they're not local to me geographically, I grieve the loss of them. But I really, there's a lot I can do to maintain those. And I think it's exactly what you're saying. It's that they just get you. And I need to put that back in my life because that's exactly what I thought of as the women that I met at this seminar. And that's exactly who I went to as soon as you talked about your women's circle. I just think I need that positive energy in my life as well.
You deserve that. Like, more of that, less of obligatory family bullshit. Okay. Like, really, we moved to Minnesota to get away from obligatory family bullshit. All of our family is 1200 miles away. We always have
I
family.
love it.
We can't travel. It drives too long. Flights are too expensive. Can't take the time off. Like, I can come up with a million reasons why I'm not fucking coming to Thanksgiving.
I
Because
love
I
it.
don't want to.
I know. Yeah,
Like,
the
because I
stuff we
don't
put up
want
with.
to. Yeah, it, like, really, this is gonna like poke all the good girl buttons. It's really okay to say no because you don't want to. Anybody feel resistance to that? Jamie does. It's really okay to say no just because you don't fucking want to.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that over justifies everything. And so learning how to just be like, no. So it's like, no, I can't for these five reasons. And I'm like
Yeah, don't
chronically ill.
overexplain. Don't overexplain. The second you start telling people why, you are giving them ammunition to question you. oh, I have to do laundry and I really need to clean the house and da da da. And they'll be like, oh, can't you do laundry another day? I'm like, oh, come on, your house can wait for this. And then that puts you in
Yeah.
the position of having to like justify yourself and fight for yourself. No is a complete sentence. You can say no just because you don't want to do something and it's nobody's fucking business why you don't want to do it. They can respect it or they can not have more have access to you. Like, it's really not hard.
I love that. I am proud of myself. I was talking to my brother yesterday and he goes, "Can you just really be more available?" Because I had told him I can't be available because I'm not feeling well. And I just said, "No, I'm doing the best that I can." And I was like,
Good.
"Wow, I never could have said that in the past." So,
Yeah, good. Better to feel the
yeah.
discomfort of the good girl or the people pleaser or whoever that is on your bus who's like, you're a horrible person because you said no and you really could have done it, but you said no. Like, better to deal with your own internal conflict of that than to put yourself in a conflict with someone else where they second guess and undermine and try to talk you out of your no. Like, I would far rather deal with that conflict within myself than have to reason with another unconscious person, because anybody who's doing that is unconscious.
Yeah.
And unconscious people are really difficult to talk to because they're not aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they think that what they're doing is totally fine. And they don't realize how insane it actually is to like push people's boundaries for your own
Yeah.
selfish reasons. Why? So you can have the perfect family photo on Thanksgiving and pretend that we're all a big happy family? Like, that's fucking nonsense. It's not real.
Yeah.
I'm not participating in your fantasy. I'm not gonna
Yeah.
put my authenticity on the shelf and show up with my happy face and pretend so that you can get your perfect family photo for Thanksgiving. No, thank you. I would rather have a much more fun and authentic Thanksgiving with my friends where there's no obligation to look perfect. I'm telling you, once you
Yeah.
get in authentic relationships, your ability to tolerate the like surface level inauthentic bullshit goes way, way down. Goes way
Yeah.
down.
Yeah, my family is bad at that. I say that I have to go and they just keep talking, and so I need to start like hanging up. Like I first told my brother that like a half hour before I finally got off, and I'm just like, this is not. And then I hear what you're saying. It's like insane that he thinks that that's how normal people behave.
Yeah, be prepared for pushback though. Like,
Yeah.
remember that how you have been showing up in your, with your family is what is part of what is contributing to the relationship being how it is. So when you change how you show up, it's going to change the dynamic of the relationship. And it may change the dynamic in the relationship in a way that makes the other people in the relationship very upset at you. Because how, like, they get what they want every time you
Yeah.
override your no and give them what they want. So it works to their advantage for you to be a people pleaser. When
Yeah,
you
yeah.
decide to stop being a people pleaser, you're no longer working to their advantage. They're going to hate it. And they're going to try to probably use guilt and shame and blood is thicker than water and whatever it is to try to talk you out of your no to get you to go back to being the pleasing, palatable version of Linka that they like because that's the version that gives them what they want.
Yeah,
Sorry to be
that
so
rings so true.
like I feel like this is so like rough and raw the way this is coming out, but like I'm not gonna sugarcoat this shit. It's toxic.
No, it doesn't feel wrong. It
Like,
feels
because like
very true to form.
if you think about it this way, like here's why normal is inauthentic and people just put up with it. Like, they just put up with it. So like if I value authenticity, then that means I value my own authenticity and I also value everyone else's authenticity. And I understand and respect that our authenticity is going to show up in different ways. And there may be some ways that people's authenticity shows up that I don't agree with or like, and some ways that my authenticity shows up that they don't agree with or like. You can take my pole dancing and sensual movement as an example. That is an authentic expression of part of me that I absolutely love. And there are thousands of people on the internet who think it's inappropriate. Like, they don't like this expression of my authenticity. Okay, fine. But like, If I were to show up and be palatable and pleasing and easy to swallow for everybody, I wouldn't have the business that I have. Like, my authenticity is what makes me so magnetic to people. If I was just like beige and boring all the time and never authentic, like, that doesn't speak to anybody. That doesn't ignite desire in anybody. That doesn't ignite curiosity in anybody. And so, like, if I was like, Lenka, hey, we're gonna get together and like we really want you to come and blah 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 blah. Can you make it? If you're like, no, I really can't make it, or no, I don't really want to. I want to just stay home. I'm gonna be like, okay, cool. I hope we can see you next time. We'll miss you. Versus people who don't value authenticity will be like, oh, why? Come on, can't you just make it? We really wanted to see you. You never come to anything. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you're so selfish. You're so this, you're so that. Like they want the inauthentic version of you, which is crazy. I
Yeah,
would
people just
rather,
live like that.
yeah, they do. They fucking live that way. It's insane. Whereas I have friends that are like, oh, you haven't shown up for 5 months? Well, fuck yeah. When you're here, it's because we know you want to be. You know, like the difference is like day and night. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Ah. And I actually do tell people, no, I don't want to go. I just want to stay home. Like I really tell people that.
Yeah.
I'll read you a text that I told my friend Jeffrey the other day. I said, hey, can you tell Honor that I have zero capacity to handle any more about the community situation right now, and I need a break from a hangout this week? Or I can call if she's home and you'd rather not. My friend doesn't have a cell phone, so I either have to call the house phone or I have to text her partner. You can also share this message. I'm not saying I'm not available to talk another time about it, but I have to be honest about my capacity at the moment, and it's kind of low. I don't plan to be at the farmer's market either. I'm just talked out and need space and downtime and quiet from everything and everyone on my afternoon off. And also, we're feverishly trying to get ready for our weekend guests. I love Honor. I love you. I love Alma. And I need a break.
Yeah, it's so kind how you say it though. Like you kind of give the full picture.
Well, yeah, I'm not
I
a dick.
really, yeah, because when I try to do that with my brother, I just say like, I either ignore the text or I say, he goes, well, I know you're busy, and I just go, it's not that I'm busy, and then I drafted this long thing and I never sent it. Like I don't speak like that. Like I'm not honest.
That sounds
I'm
like
not
something you got to
honest.
work on.
So
Your
vulnerable.
authenticity demands radical honesty and transparency.
Yeah.
Like it
Oh,
takes
yeah.
a well-resourced nervous system to embody your authentic self.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not that I'm busy, and then what I didn't send was, this is excruciating. I'm like having panic attacks over it, blah, 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 blah. And it deleted the whole thing. But like, I would like to be a little bit more authentic when I say no, instead of just ignoring him.
Well, that might be something that you just have to practice.
Yeah.
Just practice saying no a lot, and you'll find your
Yeah.
words.
Yeah.
And you'll feel the discomfort as you go through it.
Yeah, it feels scary, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so
It
much.
feels scary, but in an expansive way.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's for you.
Yeah.
Scary, but expansive.
Yeah. Thank you
Yeah.
so much.
Yeah. This is a wake-up call for your honesty, dude.
Yeah.
Okay,
Gross.
I
Get
mean that in
away,
the best
people
way.
pleaser.
Well, yeah, the people pleaser is who doesn't want you to be honest. She's terrified that she's going to get abandoned when you get authentic. But you may get abandoned when you become authentic. Like it might actually happen. There are some
Yeah.
relationships that are not going to be able to withstand our authenticity. There are some relationships for which our authenticity is a problem or it's a threat. And like that doesn't make the other person bad or wrong. It just means we're not congruent. And that
Yeah.
can happen with family members, siblings, friends, coworkers. Like it can happen with literally anybody, but that's how you find your people.
Yeah.
You find your people by seeing when I show up as my authentic self, how are these people reacting and is it safe?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's so good. I'm gonna need to listen back on to this. This is really good stuff.
Well, that's why you get
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Juicy stuff. I hope that was helpful,
Oh, yeah. When Jen watches this back, we'll be in solidarity.
Yeah, for sure. Anyone else? Anything from anyone? Okay. I don't know if you guys saw on Instagram today, but if you would like to share Feel Without Fear with your friends, family, clients, coworkers, because you've had a great experience here and you feel like it would be something that could benefit the people you love or the people you work with, we now have an affiliate program as of today. David has created an affiliate program for Feel Without Fear. We will pay you 10% of whatever the person's sign up, because it's a sliding scale. So you'll make anywhere from $60 to $199, depending on what level they choose. We will pay you to refer people to Feel Without Fear. So would you like for me to drop the link in the chat? Would you like to refer someone and get paid? They just have to use your link. That's all. So you can send them a DM or an email or a text or whatever and be like, use this link to sign up and I'll get paid. Okay, Alex. There you go. You can open it in a new tab or copy paste it, whatever you need to do. But we are happy to pay you to refer people here. Anybody else? Anything else? If we're getting off before 8 o'clock, I'm like stunned. Okay, gone once, twice. Boom. David says he suggests logging in on the website before going to that link. I think it'll automatically fill in stuff for you if you log in before you go to the link. All right, guys. Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., we'll have our last group call. And then on Wednesday afternoon, we will have our integration ceremony for sharing and embodiment to just let you feel and integrate everything that you've experienced here. Thank you so much for being part of Feel Without Fear. We're not quite done yet, but we're like getting near the very end. And it's always really bittersweet because I've enjoyed every single session with all of you so, so much. See you on Tuesday. And yeah, let us know if you need anything in between. Okay. All right. Bye. Love you all so much.